I want to take you back to Galatians. So if you want to just open your Bible to Galatians and say, Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
That I have eyes that see.
That I have eyes that see.
Ears that hear.
Ears that hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
What you're talking to me.
What you're talking to me.
And you're getting through to me.
And you're getting through to me.
Amen? Amen. I want to just go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that cool? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. And this one, you should probably put a circle around it. Selfish ambition. A lot of people don't realize that that is a sin. Dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. That's the verse that I wanted to point out. Because of our conversation and because of the situations that we were talking about earlier, it's so easy to throw a stone. But your commission, even if you know all of what I've just read in chapter 5, your job is to restore that person gently. Now, that doesn't mean that you do it overnight. Using your pitchfork is going to cause you more problems than you've already got.
So I can't jack them up.
Watch the next verse. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Mm. Come on. No, I'm not kidding. Carry each other's burdens. That's what you talked about there, young lady. Carrying each other's burden. Carrying the person that you see walking in a different line than you would like, or that you would desire. Carrying them before the Lord, lifting them up, asking the Holy Ghost to touch them and heal them is a lot better than an argument.
Amen.
And it is less costly, and you'll find that you might not be missing any feet or toes or other areas that people would love to adjust you on, because they have a different opinion. And sometimes, when I say this with reverence to recognizing that the more you argue with someone, you're just wasting your time. But if you simply say, I respect your decision. You see, it's your decision to respect. They're already convinced they're right. So are you going to be able to adjust them? No, it's not your job. Is the counselor working on your case? Yes, he is. Is the comforter working on your case? Yes, he is. The byproduct of you respecting their decision and telling them so will set a goal of adjustments that God can now work on. But while you're in judgment, what have you done? They're going to pull back. They're going to get their double barrel shotgun and carry it on their shoulder until that perfect opportunity comes when they can shoot your tail feathers off. And they won't miss. I'm serious. Okay? I was dealing with an individual not long ago, and I know that the couple is doing what I would say God's opinion would be an ungodly lifestyle. All right? And I heard my mouth say, I respect your decision. And they looked at me like, oh. And literally, what I really did is I literally sawed off their shotgun. Because now they couldn't shoot. Because I was going to respect whatever they chose. You say, well, how is that scriptural? Take a good look at what Jesus does when Judas has made up his mind that this Savior is not what he says he is. And he should be taking over the Romans and giving them a good whipping. And he knows he can do it. He's already watched. He's observed. He's got 3.5 years on the job training, and it's all focused on getting rid of the Romans. And every time the Lord says, your battle isn't against flesh and blood, that goes right over his head. So when he says what he does, he's about to leave, and Jesus says, go do quickly. That's respecting his decision. Can you do the same? By choice, you can. By emotions, you won't. Amen. Because by emotions, you want to do a triple shotgun. Because you've got quite a few areas you'd like to hit. But it's not your job. Your job is, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, however long it takes. I shared with you guys about a lady that was in my life. It took years before I had to just hold back. My emotions, I remember one night my wife and I are coming home and we've had an introduction and we're in a real turmoil. And both of us are ready to cry because we're watching somebody that we dearly love making horrible choices. And I can remember saying to my wife, you know what? This is not too big for God. It's way too big for me and you, but it's not too big for the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. And that person or persons that are before you, I want you to declare it. In the realm of the spirit, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
That person.
That person.
Or a group of people.
Or a group of people.
Is much too big for me.
Is much too big.
But it's not too big for your Holy Spirit. You, Holy Ghost, are very sneaky.
You, Holy Ghost, are very sneaky.
You can get in there.
When I least expect it,
you can do something way beyond my understanding. But when the time is right, and you press me to go,
even if they're in sin,
I will be on the job.
To restore them gently.
And I watch myself.
So I don't get caught.
Because it's so easy to judge.
It's so easy to judge.
Now, I want to take you a little bit further. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens in a way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself with somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instructions in the world must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, even the ones that think differently than you. Even the ones that are choosing to live a lifestyle that's different than you. And the last part of that verse is especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Many, many times over the years, I had to learn that I was too quick on the draw. I wanted to help the Lord out.
All the time.
Okay? And I needed to develop some patience, and I wasn't very good at it. I'm being honest. I wasn't very good at it. Until I finally cried out and said, Lord, I can't do this. It's too big. It's way too big. For me to wait for you, you know, I've got these amount of years to straighten them out.
Yes. Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay, so these wheels were on the job. Well, I remember reading a book years ago that the Lord kind of pounded into me. And it was about an author who was very good at writing books in England and wrote many bestsellers, etc., etc. And he became a believer. So he began to pray for one of the family members that he loved. And this family member didn't want to live a godly lifestyle. He was totally interested in only doing what feels good. And whatever that happened to be, he was very good at it. So, one of the last things he cried out for before he died was one nephew. It was the only living relative he had, and he kept claiming Acts 16:31, me and my house. Well, he never got to see it. But during the funeral service, there was an altar call because the man who happened to be the pastor of this believer said there was one desire that your uncle had, and I'm about to do something I've never done at a funeral. He says, if you believe that your uncle is in heaven and you'd like to join him someday, come on up, all you relatives. Oh. And guess what?
They all got up.
The one nephew got up, stood before the pastor, and gave his life to Jesus.
Amen.
The pastor wept because he says, from the heavens, the one that had prayed the prayer all this time got his prayer answered. And he says, I'm absolutely convinced that the Holy Ghost took a picture and sent it back. You know, I told you about the party on Sunday afternoon, and I'm standing behind my wife. Right next to us is my oldest son. And You've got to remember that this young man was brought up just like I was, had some foundations in the Word, and I was conscious of the dream. And I was aware. I didn't quote scripture, but you see, even my brokenness was getting through because of what was going on in my heart was touching him. And later on, he's not the type of kid that does hugs. I mean, we had one already this year, and that was a big, 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 big miracle. But as I walked by him, I put my hand on his shoulder, and I was still in the emotional state of what was going on, and he put his hand on top. And that was my hug. That was saying more. Just like you. Unable to fly a kite until now. That hand pressed in said it all. His desire to come and spend time with us at home was an extra bonus. So all I can tell you is this. How many years does it take? As many as needed. My son is more aware of my love for him now, probably than he's probably ever had. He made a few comments, but they were sweet. Sometimes he punches back a little bit, you know, because he wants to defend his position. And I let him. And I already have told him more than once, I respect what you've decided to do. And if I respect, then you need to respect me.
Amen.
It's a two-way street. But I don't always say that because some can't handle that part. And if they can't handle it, that's not gentleness. The restoration has got to be done with gentleness. St. Paul says, all things to all people. What does that mean to be all things to all people? Bow and go down to their level of injury, and maybe then you'll understand why they're doing what they're doing. Maybe you haven't tasted the level of injury they're in. Maybe you've never had that opportunity to taste the depth of their brokenness. But because of your own, you can have a picture before you to say, okay, Holy Spirit, give me a taste of what they're tasting. Don't give me the whole package. Just give me a wee bit of a sample so that I can comprehend where they're broken from. Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You're on the job.
You're on the job.
If I've been difficult, with the broken, forgive me now.
Forgive me now.
I'm asking now. For the grace I need. Not only to be gentle. But not haughty either.
Let me be.
Understanding of their pain.
To comprehend
what they're going through,
so that I can be
a heart of love to them,
like you've had a heart of love
for me.
What Jesus did for me
is my example.
He gave it all.
We'll give the glory to Jesus and dwell in his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and dwell in his wonderful love.